Reset.
Come on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border charcoal, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny! Do not vomit me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome. Welcome, all.
Welcome.
Technical difficulties.
Oh, it helps if I know what buttons I'm supposed to be hitting.
Oh, that too.
Apparently, after a week, I've totally forgotten that the second button means we're all here. First button is intro.
It's well, okay. It was a week to forget.
Yes. Anyway, welcome to episode 129 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, March 27th.
You got that right.
I got that one. It's written right for me, so it's pretty easy to remember.
We all have to do that.
This is Aaron. This episode, we talk about combo breakers, trucks backing up, and
beep, beep,
and cunning
beep,
stunts.
Beep, beep, beep.
Oh, thank
beep.
You. The one beeping to my left, as always, unfortunately, sometimes. Kenny.
Hey.
It's the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Like, I mean, this has been a bad week all around.
Across from me, Mr. Jive Midnight.
Good evening, folks.
How you guys doing?
You know, it's been a week. I will say, Felska mentioned it too.
Yeah,
because he got it from me, the John Scott book.
Yeah,
I started listening to it on Audible the other day. And
good stuff.
You know, it goes through quick. It's not very long. It's like just under 7 hours on Audible, which is not a very long book.
Like, how many pages is that in, like, in reality?
I don't know. I forgot to look at that. But I do it at 1.2 speed.
Because, see, I'm like, torn. Because it's like, okay, John Scott, Enforcer, it can't be that long. John Scott also went to a technical school. Kind of a smart guy. Maybe it is long.
Just a technical school?
No, Michigan Tech?
He went to Michigan Tech.
Yeah.
And actually, they were in the WCHA when he played for them.
Yeah, it wasn't like...
they were like the worst of the WCHA, but...
Right. It wasn't just like a St. Paul Tech, you know, where you needed to have a valid driver's license and a couple hundred dollars.
Yeah,
know?
No, they were a D1 hockey program, at least.
Felska says not much more than 100, so... That's some short reading.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that the narrator, at first he was kind of annoying, and then I was like, okay, you get used to it. And then he started really screwing up some hockey names, like Patrick Waugh, he referred to as Patrick Roy. And
Roy.
P.K. Subban was P.K. Subban. So trying to get wrap your head around that with a guy who does not know hockey players from a hockey player's book.
Who was PK Subban for?
Depending on what team he was with. Yeah.
You can't rim shot yourself, man.
I can't?
No.
That's just, why not?
That should be illegal, I'm pretty sure.
But
overall, a good book, though?
Overall, I mean, it basically goes through his early days, his kid life, him getting into college, him going from Canada to the U.S. and playing in NCAA instead of going up through the juniors. I mean, it's kind of brief through that point, but
yeah?
It is very quick.
Yeah.
We were talking about this earlier, and you were saying it was kind of nice because a lot of these books – you know, they'll kind of vaguely talk about players, you know, but they won't name names. But it seemed like Scott was doing, he was naming names.
Scott named a few names in a couple instances. And I mean, I'm not going to say who he called out because, I mean, I want you to read it.
No spoilers here.
No spoilers. But, you know, basically he was talking about agitators and he referred to them as rats,
Yeah.
And he definitely called out some names. He called out some people that he was not happy with in the NHL organization. But yeah, it was kind of like, nope, this is how I really feel about these people. And yeah, it was kind of relieving just to kind of hear some personal takes on it.
Sure.
Rather than a generic, like, yeah, so we fought, you know. He does have, and this isn't really giving any spoilers, he does have a nice instance when he's in Arizona that Ty Domi actually comes up and has a conversation, brief conversation, according to the book.
Sure,
or, you know, at least how the book portrays it. But he does have a conversation with Ty Domi because Max is playing with him at that point.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
And Scott is the grizzled gray balls of the Coyotes.
At that point, he pretty much was. Yeah. So, I don't know. I liked it. I mean, I'm a little partial because, I mean, I always liked John Scott.
Oh.
And
I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, it's not like we have got a jersey on the wall over here. You
no,
know?
Actually, I think that was the one that I ordered for me. That was too big for me. That fit you. That might be too big for you now.
It is too big for me now. I've lost enough weight where I look like a little kid in his parents' clothes.
So, but no, John Scott. I mean, I like the guy. I mean, he does talk about Bugard in there too, and their relationship and their friendship, and I mean, all in a good light. But yeah, I would say, I mean, if you're in the hockey, you're into like the enforcer type role, like seeing it from his standpoint. It's not going to be where the code comes from, where you actually kind of hear some of the other stuff. It's going to be a
Tucker,
more...
competitive violent. That's why you're here!
It's going to be a more personal account of his life.
Sure,
and I mean, I don't know. It he touches on it, but doesn't get too deep.
Sounds touching.
Yeah.
So you're enjoying the book then, though?
I finished it.
You finished the book?
I did. And he goes into meeting Gretzky at some point as well.
Oh.
I won't say when, but
if you're going into the bathroom and you're Russian and you're in the bathroom and you're European, what are you when you come out?
You're finished.
Finished.
Oh, okay. That deserved it. I don't know. I didn't know where you were going with this, but that deserved it. Okay.
All right.
How about we talk about the Wild at this point? Like today, Wild.
Today, Boom. Wild.
Yeah.
Who?
So this week was something else, wasn't it? We had four games, and we totaled 3 points. Total of 8 goals over those games.
Yep.
Basically, we were 1-2-1. The first game, you know, it was a great game. We broke that 5-game losing streak.
Oh,
longest of Boudreaux's career.
Right.
Which is still kind of amazing considering he hasn't done well in the playoffs. So you would have figured that he would have had some streaks in there just because of that. You know, silver lining on this week, though, outside of the Kemper start on Saturday, you know, Dubnyk looked pretty good. I mean, he's actually pretty better than he's been lately.
You can say that, but I honestly think that both goalies have been kind of hung out to dry for a lot of the goals that have been given up.
This is true.
You go back and if you replay those goals and look back at them, the goalies are being screened. They're, you know, by their own players.
Oh,
even
or it's a failed clear.
Yeah,
I mean, I think we had two of the goals yesterday were failed clears.
Right.
That had our skaters actually did what they were supposed to do, we may have not been in the position we were in.
And so I don't know. I find it even hard to bash on Kemper's game this last week. I think that Kemper actually made some nice saves. Unfortunately, there was a lot of them that, you know, he didn't have a look at. So.
Yeah, I mean, the game yesterday against Detroit was kind of dismal. I mean, watching them play, the little bit I got to see.
I don't think it was that bad. I mean, yes, when your big goal scorer is Prosser, you know, you have to take that with some. When he hasn't scored a goal since Hockey Day 2 years
technically,
ago.
Technically, he didn't even touch the puck last.
And yeah, technically he got the assist on the Larkin goal, you know. considering he hasn't scored a goal since Hockey Day Minnesota 2 years ago,
2015.
2015. which I'm pretty sure we posted it. We tweeted that when he had the blood on his, you know, teeth or what, lips or whatever, because he was busted up at that end of that game.
Oh, that's right, because he took, there was that no call.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I thought the game, I mean, the Wild were doing well. They failed in the times when they normally fail lately, and it's coming out of a period break or going right into a period break.
And,
you know,
and you guys can give Prosser as much crap as you want, but he had
a great game yesterday.
That's what we need to do. We need to get the puck at the net.
Well, at the
Detroit defenseman.
But even things happen
when you toss the puck towards the net.
But even beyond that, he had a couple great defensive plays. which you don't always see from Prosser.
Right.
You know, there was one breakaway, and I was like, oh crap, it's just Prosser. We don't stand a chance right now.
And he
held out, and it worked out really well.
And if you go to the overtime, you look at what cost the Wild the overtime. It was a boneheaded defensive play, but that definitely wasn't Prosser. I mean, not that you'd probably have him out there on the 3-on-3 situation anyways, but Dumba found himself way too far up.
Dumba's been finding himself in that position a lot lately, although he has been scoring.
He has been scoring, right.
He has.
And this team right now needs to score.
Definitely. And if I'm Coach Boudreau, in a 3-on-3 situation, I don't have Dumba out there as my defenseman.
No, you need especially right now, you need a defenseman out there.
Somebody who stays at home a little more. And I mean, because that's the other thing is I'm not going to fault Dumba for that because, you know, half the time I'm yelling at like Scandella, like, you know, why aren't you playing up and forcing that a little bit, you know? But
so yeah. I know I brought this up, this question up on Twitter, and I don't think anyone asked it in return to the Twitter questions. So, you know, there's been a lot made about how the Wild have struggled since we brought in White and Hansel.
Mm-hmm.
There is some about that, I think.
Well, there is a lot of talk about that, but how much of it do you think? I mean, obviously, we didn't lose any players for it. It was all picks. But, you know, we have guys that would have been on the third line, like Halla, who's now on the fourth line, languishing. I think he didn't skate at all in the last 12 minutes of the game.
Russo brought that up, actually, in his rants.
And so it's like, is that actually impacting? And, you know?
Yeah, I would have to agree that it's impacting. I mean, no, you didn't lose any players for the deal. But you're forcing out a couple of players that, I mean, your team had been performing like a fine-tuned machine.
But right before the deadline, we had that loss, and it was like...
A loss. Yeah, now what do we have?
5 in a row, and then more on top of that?
Right.
We broke it. The streak ended.
Yeah, and then it restarted again.
But yeah, I definitely think that has had an impact. I don't know if I should blame that on the play of Hansel or the play of White, but it's definitely kind of messed with the chemistry of the team, I think, and how the team plays. If I have to pick one that I think is not really melding chemistry-wise with the team, I would have to say Hansel.
Well, I mean, here's the thing with that. Before we had Koivu, we had Stahl, we had Halla as our top three centermen. And our fourth one was always rotating depending on who was up or down. And those guys, if one of them got hurt, they moved up. And then, you know, the other two moved up, and then we had another guy come in to cover that fourth line position. And now, what would seem like a good scenario of actually having, you know, moving everybody down one and having another good center in there, it seems like it's disrupting everything.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, at this point, I would have rather have not made any moves at the trade deadline. And I would have, you know, hindsight is always 2020. But, and I would have rather have taken
Hansel Sight's always 20/20.
Right. But I'd have rather taken, you know, see what we can do with Ryan Carter around here, you know. I'm sure, you know, he might not have been in game time shape yet, but I think that throwing him in as a third or fourth line option, if you need a little bit more physical play, would have worked out perfectly well. That said, though, I have liked White's play since he's been here.
Well,
aside from that one play where he did
that one game where he just gave up.
Right. I mean, because that one was
I know where
like,
you're going.
Yeah, because that one was brutal. Yes. I mean,
but he did come back the following game, and he made some pretty solid plays.
Oh, I'm sure he saw it, and he was like, "Oh, damn! I mean, that's embarrassing."
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what Hansel's excuse, because it seems like he's asleep half the time anyway. So, but anyway, you know, 3 points in four games, obviously not good enough for a team that is supposed to be near the top of the conference.
That were the top of the conference for
yeah.
How long? Well, let's see. Oh, wait, who was the coach for the All-Star game?
Yeah. Anyway, that being said, should we be happy that it seems like things are turning around, or really now are we just treading water?
I don't think they're turning around. I honestly don't. I mean,
it's better than the last five games. Last five games we had 0 points, and the last four games we had 3 points.
So
got something to show for ourselves.
And I don't think the game yesterday was. It wasn't a feel good game where we're just like destroying them, but you know at least it was something to build on.
So you're saying 3 points against Detroit and Vancouver, who are sitting nowhere near a playoff spot right now.
Well, actually, 1 point between those two teams, because we also had 2 points against San Jose, which could potentially
San Jose was well worth the 2 points.
But
that was a good game.
But that could potentially be a playoff matchup, and we fared well against them. Yeah. You know.
So then, why didn't we fare well against these teams that we should be smoking right now?
That's a great question.
And so, no, I don't think we did that well. I mean, I think we...
So you're expecting more of this, just trying to figure their crap out.
Absolutely.
Over the last, 10 days.
Detroit should not have been an overtime game. Detroit should have been a blowout. Vancouver should have been a blowout.
In the Detroit game, we lost 2-1 goal leads during the game. So it was ours to lose, and they were turtling.
Yeah. Yep.
They were turtling when it was a tie game, and it was like, "Why? What are you doing?"
Well, yeah. and that can be kind of what happens, though, too, when you're a team that's trying to climb back up and claw your way back to where you were playing before. You know, at that point, you're playing super defensively to try to protect that minuscule lead that you do have, and that's where you end up giving up the points like that. So,
in Vancouver, I mean, being down to Vancouver 4-0 at one point, giving up four goals in the second period, that's complete crap.
Oh, the Vancouver game, I know Boudreaux said it. It was embarrassing. Because, yeah, I mean, then again, who was the net? Kemper. Kemper has not been consistent at all this year. I mean, I know I was... I don't know how you go through that game and go, maybe Stalock should be brought up at this point, because
no.
That game was really bad.
Go back and take a look at the four goals that were scored against him on that, though. Take a look at it. I know on two cases, I saw one where...
Oh, the team is not playing in front of him.
I saw one where Suter skated right back to Kemper, patted him on the head and said, "That one was on me. That one was on me." Because he was standing right in front of him.
And by proxy, so that one was on me and Quick Trip. Thank you.
And then there was another one. I believe it was Ryan White who had made a play where I'm pretty sure it was Ryan White, if I can remember correctly. But, you know, the same exact type of deal. You know, players aren't clearing the lanes in front of our goaltenders. And it's not just happening to Kemper either. I mean,
no.
It's happening to Dubnyk as well.
Right.
And I think that's what needs to be fixed. We got to fix things in front of our own end and in front of our net. There's players sitting around unharassed out in front of our net. That's never going to, bode well for a team.
Well, and on the flip side, we also aren't that team that's getting in front of the net. I know we've been railing about that on Twitter, but, if we'd have no one who's sitting there for a rebound, you know what? You're not going to get any rebounds.
No, you're not. Right?
So that goalie can kick whatever the hell he wants out, and he does it without any repercussions of that.
And was that the Philly game that we were going back and forth with on Felsko with?
Well, it's like every game. I mean,
as of late.
Yeah, I mean, we've got enough, as Felsko said, the Wild play small. We've got big guys like Koivu.
Coyle.
We've got Suter. We've got Stahl. We've got Niederreiter. Niederreiter's about the only one who...
Parise plays big.
Parise plays big.
But he's not big.
Well, that's the thing is our small
Spurgeon.
Guys... Our small guys play big and our big guys play small.
Yeah.
So it's like Spurgeon, Parise, Granlin, Halla, Zucker. Those are the guys that are getting in the dirty spots and getting creamed, whereas the big guys are just like... Derp, 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 just hanging out, just chilling,
Yeah.
Anyway, during the game yesterday, the crew at NBC made a big deal about how the Wilds lost against the Blackhawks on the 12th of March. Tanked them. I don't know if that's the words they use, but that's basically the message that they were conveying. The Wild were obviously losing beforehand. Does this narrative hold any water, or is this just NBC just going...
NBC looking for something. They're throwing anything out at that point.
Hey, we got a game.
It's a love fest for the Blackhawks. We understand.
We got a game without the Blackhawks or the Penguins. How can we bring up the Blackhawks or the Penguins?
Yes.
Let's hope someone's finger gets cut off or
Crosby hits somebody in the balls, but we're not going to talk about that.
We want one of the Minnesota players to get a finger cut off or a ball cup chop, cup check, so we can replay the Crosby stuff. Because that's more relevant, and we like Crosby.
Or we want some women to get ripped. Oh, wait.
I need some grapefruit there.
Okay, grapefruit.
You know what I'm saying? Did NBC bring up the fact that... Because this is the last game that the Wild will play in Joe Louis.
Yes.
Did they bring up the fact that the last game that the North Stars lost was in Joe Louis?
No, but they brought up it was Star Sunday about 20 times.
And every time I looked at the game... When Koivu was on the ice, and that's the only time I saw the star tracker, it was like every other time. It wasn't even consistent.
Then I'm a little insulted that the Star Sunday logo is awfully close to the Dallas Stars, like, pre-move to Dallas. So it's like, it had a star logo with Wild, and I was like, you're just trying to insult us at this point. you're rubbing salt into that wound.
Rubbing or pouring?
The reason I bring up the North Stars thing is Bob Kurtz had actually mentioned it on the radio about the very last North Stars game was at Joe Louis, and how was the last time the Wild will play in Joe Louis, and the North Stars ended up losing that game too, unfortunately. But
yeah.
No, NBC's grabbing at straws. However, I have been listening to a lot of Behind the Voice.
Yeah.
And I don't know, have you been listening to much of that?
Hashtag tripod.
Yeah.
It is tri-month.
Yeah.
Tripod.
For a couple more days here.
Yep. And I was actually thinking about that earlier this week, and I was going to bring it up.
And we owe this to Felska, because Felska pushed this. I started listening to it when I was in Europe. On the ferry from Estonia to Finland. I was like, I got nothing else to do. I don't have Wi-Fi. Or I did have Wi-Fi, but I was like, I don't need to surf.
Yep.
And I will listen to Bob Kurtz one. Great. I listened to LaPanta one. Great.
I will say, and it's bugging me right now. Felska told me to listen to an episode. I think it was 38, and I don't remember who it was. He's the Bruins play-by-play.
Okay.
And... He was talking about they were going back and forth. He worked for ESPN for a minute, and then he got the opportunity to go with the Bruins. And they were talking about the difference between a local guy and a national guy. And the one thing that he said is, being a national guy, yes, you can do that, but you got to be very neutral. And you're kind of grabbing at straws when you're talking about stuff happening in between games.
Fair point. I mean,
you know, and that goes to show with the NBC guys, which they actually just had Doc Emmerich on, right. One of the recent ones. And, you know, Doc Emmerich actually seems like a decent guy. However, he's got to stick, you know, he can't be very vocal about either team.
Well, that he's, you know, what teams has he seen a lot of? Blackhawks, Penguins. So he's probably going to default to the teams he knows.
That's who he's going to know.
I don't think it was it Doc doing the game on Sunday?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Doc. Yep. Doc and Pierre.
The podcast is the voice behind the voice.
The voice BTV.
Yeah. That's, well,
I've been
for those inside.
Felska was correcting you there. And Jack Edwards was the Bruins caster.
That was actually a really good episode. And he turned me on to my next Audible book, The Game, by Ken Dryden. He had mentioned it. So, but that one's like twice as long as the
And in full disclosure, while I hate Pierre and I find his analysis boring and predictable, and I'm not a huge fan of Doc's play-by-play, I do respect his attention to detail.
Yes,
I do respect that. So, I actually most of the play-by-play guys I don't have a whole lot of problems with, and that includes Doc. I know people don't like. There's some people that don't like LaPanta, but I like LaPanta. I mean,
I do too.
Me too. He should invite us over. I see he's always like grilling steaks and stuff. Why doesn't he bring us over for steaks?
He should come in and help out with
something on the grill.
Three in the box with Tony Pants.
Yeah.
Let's make this happen.
I like it. I consider that deal done. I mean, that's 3 out of 4 of us. You didn't agree, but
right. Like, we agreed.
We agreed.
We'll just show up at his door.
I'm a family guy. I know he's got family too. We can all get together.
But
we'll invite him to three in the barbecue here.
There we go.
So.
I'm not trying to stick up for NBC, but I do realize that those guys are kind of digging for stuff at times. However, I mean, I would much rather have our local guys doing all of our games.
I agree.
You know, that's what
you
as a fan want to hear.
You always want your local guy though, because your local guy is going to call the game for you when, you know, they're going to cater more to the home team or the home.
I think it was the game yesterday where Doc was like, well, the crowd doesn't like that. And I remember they were doing a BS. The crowd was chanting it.
Yeah.
But it was like, well, obviously the crowd doesn't understand how hockey works is basically what he said. Yeah. Because, you know, it was obvious that call was not going to get overturned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know there was some disagreement with us and Felska regarding that goaltender interference, which I think is what caused the BS call.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I will say, Aaron, what college game were we watching on an ESPN where the announcer's off the coconut?
That would be Barry Melrose.
That one?
But he's color. He's color. And he's definitely color.
You know, here's the thing. I don't mind watching a national announcer, whether it's college or pro or what level, if they're fairly neutral. But the one thing I see with NBC, and maybe it's because they're such on my radar because I, you know, they're rivals or I don't like the team, is I always hear Chicago and I always hear Pittsburgh. And it's like, no, if neither one of them are playing, those words should not come out of your mouth.
Right.
And I think that's what gets to me the most. It's like, no, I don't want to hear about Crosby. I don't want to hear about Kane. I don't care how Pittsburgh's doing.
You sound bitter.
Just a little bit.
Maybe you should just embrace it.
Hey, the Wild are playing the Sharks on a Wednesday, and it's real rivalry Wednesday because, you know.
Maybe you should embrace
it. Let's talk about
though.
Crosby.
You get to, you know.
Piss off.
You get the Wild on NBC. You get to branch out from just hearing about the Wild on Fox here. And so you get to branch out a little bit. You get to hear about a little bit more. Well, what's going on outside in the NHL? What's going on in Chicago? What's going on in Pittsburgh?
So should we send Anthony LaPanta an email saying he should talk about Crosby more often?
He doesn't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
NBC does.
No, but obviously he is a, you know, LaPanta is for the Wild. He's a Wild
absolutely
announcer. As was explained here earlier, you know, you're looking at a person who is going around calling a different team every game that he calls.
Right, and I get that. But he should be focusing on those teams and not the two teams that aren't playing that he wants to talk about.
Who's always on NBC, though?
Well, it depends.
Right. And that was where I totally can't get away from the point that Aaron brought up where, hey, these guys, they see the Chicago Blackhawks and the Pittsburgh Penguins more than any other team in the NHL.
Wasn't it last year that the Wild had the same amount of games nationally televised as Pittsburgh did? And I think this year it was close as
well. We're at 11 this year, so.
I mean, that's got to be up there.
Well, and that's the thing, is if the Wild continue to put a good team on the ice and be very competitive like this, I would have to think that NBC would soon be talking a lot about us because we would on NBC a lot of the
time. To Pierre's credit, he does talk about Shattuck and how Crosby went there.
But I'm talking about the Wild here, and I think that, you know, if the Wild can, you know, finish out this season strong, get into the playoff, or they're in the playoffs, or, you know, and move into the through the playoffs and put up a good showing and then come out strong again next year, I definitely think that, you know, we're going to be up there on the same line. This is, you know, the state of hockey. It is. I mean, you go around to other places and people refer back to Minnesota and it's something special here. You know what?
I agree with that. And I mean, our time is coming.
Yep.
And hopefully we get our dynasty. But as of right now, you know, it's not that way. And it's tough to listen to these guys. Like I said, I don't mind them being neutral. I don't mind that. It's when the other teams that aren't playing that we start hearing about. And it's like, I don't care about that.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though. You know, they don't have the history to go back on with, you know, Lou Nanny or somebody from, you know, it's just an example, but they don't have that type of history to go back on and talk about and ramble about when they're trying to fill space. They got to put hot air in there.
Yeah.
All right.
Just
playing the devil's advocate. I know people are finding this super exciting.
I think it's time to move on to the wild card.
Duh.
Beep, 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 beep.
Backing on up.
As you heard before, that was the sound of the Wild backing their way into the playoffs.
Moves. The only thing I really see right now is Kunin. He's done with his time with...
Hey.
Whoa.
That was the sound of the Wild backing their way into the playoffs.
Oh.
All right. Despite their play in the last month, you know, the month plus or so, you know, the Wild did manage to clinch a playoff spot this past weekend. They clinched it based off of an LA loss, though, not off of a Wild win. So I just want to kind of gauge things here. I want to get your guys' confidence level. If you go on a 1 to 5 level, 1 being not very confident, 5 being very confident, will the Wild make it past the first round of the playoffs?
On a scale of 1 to 5, 5 is very confident.
5 is very confident
that they will,
yes, make it past there.
I'm gonna put 3. I don't know at this point.
Not sure. Kind of right in the middle.
I mean, I want to be confident just because I want my team to win. At the same point, I'm 3 going on 4 just because I'm an optimist.
Yeah.
and a sucker Minnesota fan, as per usual.
I'm going to go, as it stands right now, we're looking at either the Preds or the Blues. And, I mean, earlier this year we played them both okay. Like, we did a pretty stand-up job.
Yep.
Playoffs are a different time of the year, and with how they're looking right now, I think we're going to win. I think it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight, but I'm gonna go with a 4. Solid 4.
So you think that they're going to make it past there. All right. And, you know, Kenny, I would agree with your 4. If the Wild can find some way to kind of, you know, turn the tides here, if pucks start bouncing their way, they start, you know, finding their groove again. But I haven't seen that that's for sure going to happen. I mean, I've seen some improvement, I guess you'd say, over the last week where, yes, it seems that things are starting to go a little bit better. But I would actually, at this point, if the play continues as is, I would go with a 2 or maybe a 3. 2 that they might not make it because, you know, right now we haven't shown we can climb past, you know, the ups or the downs.
So right.
I'm like 3.5.
Yeah.
So I'm optimistic, but I'm pretty much a 3.
Okay. So basically right now we're sitting at if you changed your vote to a 3.5, we're on the upper side of they'll do good, but not by much.
It's
as a collective.
Right. It's very torn.
Yeah. All right. So in past years, though, I mean, for the Wild, I mean, it's basically been a fight till the end of the season, you know, to find our way into the playoffs, you know.
So now yeah. We get scratching to the end of the season
yeah, scratching for wild card spots. So, but yeah, here we are now, you know, we've got ourselves a guaranteed spot
yeah.
in the playoffs. At this point, you know, should the Wild be looking at, you know, resting up some of the players?
Because they've been, like, skating hard the past few games? I mean,
that's my question to you. Should we be giving them some rest?
No.
Maybe they haven't been skating hard. Maybe they're totally wiped out. Do we need a break?
They do have a very tough schedule. And we had talked about this earlier in the year. They've got a very tough schedule at the end of the season. I mean, they don't have more than a day off in between games with multiple back-to-backs in there, which we have some coming up again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the players are looking at that and just kind of going, oh, crap, we can't do this. Like,
I think at this point, you know, I mean, I know you want to maintain your spot. But I think it probably makes sense to rest some of the guys that might be a little banged up. The only risk you really run, though, is telegraphing that, hey,
they're hurt.
Coyle's a little banged up.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, grind him next time he's playing.
Right.
Especially if you're a playoff-bound yeah. team.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you rest him against teams that are not playoff or that are playoff-bound and that you're unlikely to face, you know, or, you know, do something like that. But even then, how much healing are they going to be able to do in a couple days?
Very true.
You know, my gut says rest them, but at the same point, I don't know if it's actually going to make any difference for a lingering issue. Because usually those kind of things, they need like a couple months to just heal.
Well, yeah. And those guys aren't going to take any time off once they hit the playoffs anyways. So it's like, you know, play through it. Just try to not play as hard, which is what they've been doing, and it looks like they're a hurt team right now.
Yeah.
And maybe that's it. Maybe they're, you know, just out there coasting it and making it happen, you know, like that. But, okay. So, I mean, that said, I mean, so we've got this, you know, comfort cushion here. You know, where we have clinched a spot, and knowing that, do you think that's actually an added advantage to us, though? Or could it be actually, you know, continue us on our losing ways and losing our way here?
Well, I think the one thing that's going to help us is it makes it unlikely that we're going to face the Blackhawks in the first round.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it's impossible because, I mean, we don't have that big of a cushion at this point.
Nope.
But it makes it less likely.
We'll know next episode.
Well, it means two teams are going to two teams are going to have to jump us at that point.
Yeah.
And that's going to be tough for both teams to jump.
Two would have to jump us.
Right. So I'm a little less. I don't know. I think that's unlikely at this point.
And we play one of those teams.
Right. And that could actually have a huge impact on what this postseason looks like. So I don't think I'm too worried at this point from that standpoint.
Okay. All right. Should we get into what's coming up?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So, you know, not jumping the shark or anything earlier. Kunin got done with Wisconsin. Wisconsin got knocked out of the NCAA playoffs. And it was kind of up in the air what he was going to do with his career, if he's going to stick with Wisconsin, because I think he was a sophomore, I believe. I think he had 2 years in with them. Not 100% on that. Felska knows. Hashtag Felska knows. We still haven't been through playoffs yet, but do we see Kunin call up to the Big Show next year?
Considering we have the expansion draft coming up, and who knows who's going to be picked up there, and the fact that we have a tough time having players that can perform, I don't see how it's not going to happen. I think it's a given that we're going to see him at some point next year. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll see him at some point. I mean, definitely we can gauge his...
you can almost guarantee the 9-game tryout kind of thing.
Yeah, gauge his development and see how he's coming along. And
right.
But yeah, so not okay. Like, unfortunately though, we're not seeing him this year though. Not like Bosher. I'm probably butchering his name. Out of Burnsville though, right. He got to come in with Vancouver against the Wild, and he actually scored his first NHL goal a night after he finished his season up with North Dakota. So. I mean, it's a bummer that the Wild had to lose that night, but
bittersweet that
right
we got knocked out.
Well,
there's no sweet.
It's bitter.
It's Vancouver and a guy who was just at NoDak.
He was from Minnesota.
He can go to hell.
Burnsville, Minnesota.
He went to NoDak.
Turncoat. Oh,
he went to NoDak and now he's in Vancouver.
Oh, that's a bigger turncoat than what's his name. Dude with
Eric Johnson.
Eric Johnson, yes.
He can go to hell too.
You guys are a couple of grumpy old men. Do you know that?
Hey, Kenny, what's our upcoming schedule looking like?
Let's see. We'll lose. More than likely, we'll lose. We'll keep our fingers crossed. And holy shit, if we can't beat them, we're fucked. That would be the Capitals on Tuesday. So, we'll probably lose, but, we played good against good teams. So, we'll see. We're at home.
There's a chance. I mean, it hasn't helped us. We're building, though. We're building.
But the Capitals, they're a playoff team. So, I mean.
Weren't they still in the top?
No, I think they got bumped down.
Yeah, they've been struggling a little bit. So.
But they're still a playoff bound team, and that's going to be a good test for the Wild right there. Are we going to step up to the show or what?
Right after that on Thursday, we got a day off, and then on Thursday we have another playoff team who's second in the Atlantic is the Senators, Ottawa Senators.
And they've come on. I mean, they had a rough beginning of the year, and they've really. That's going to be one where it's like, that's going to be a tough.
They're on fire.
That's going to be a tough win.
And then we've got a day off, and then we have on Saturday we've got the Preds,
another playoff team
in Nashville.
Yep.
So.
Suter.
They're actually they're
Booter.
Booter.
they're kind of right on our tails, I guess, as of right now, for the taking that second third swap. But St. Louis is right behind them, so that could be the game where it makes them. Decisions. Now, if this was NBC, they should have a Suter boo count on their stats, I think would be more appropriate than the Stars Saturday, Stars Sunday, whatever. Oh, and then before we get back, we have another back-to-back on Sunday. We are back at home against Colorado, against the Avs, and
we should win that one.
Honestly, if we can't beat the Avs at home at the end of the season with how bad the Avs have been doing, we're kind of effed.
I'm pretty sure that it'll be warm enough that day that there should officially be no more snow, so there should be no fear of an avalanche.
Ice might be a little soft.
Yes.
You don't even do it.
Don't
give yourself a rim shot for that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gross. Okay,
should we have to take that away from him?
Yeah, yeah. Should we get into the Twitter talk here?
Yeah, let's
here
do it.
Comes.
Go ahead.
Da-dun.
Cool. Feel better now. First question is from Derek Felska.
Here comes.
Increase in assist. Are the Wild too soft, not talking about fighting, rather being unwilling to pay the physical price to score, defend, etc.? Obviously, they play the boards, and that there's some physical play there.
Yeah,
but they're not getting into the dirty areas,
right?
You know,
up in front of the net. That's where you're gonna go, and where you're gonna get your goals. And when you're looking at that, it can end up being a. It can be troublesome, but then again, though, I think that the Boudreaux, method or the Boudreaux play is really to, play those backboards and rotate your guys, find somebody in the slot, and then get somebody moving into the front of the net. So I don't know that.
But isn't there a worry, though, when you've got that as your plan, that it's a little easier to defend against because that's your one move?
Well, and that's been one of the things that I've actually been wondering lately is so there's been a team or two lately that's found ways to beat us. Yeah. And, have they been back watching film and, it's probably all on film now and other teams are picking up on this is how we, can beat the Wild. I mean, maybe
box us out, and then we have to rely on rebounds that we may not be there to collect on. There.
Right. So
I mean, look at the goals we've scored over the last week or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many breakaways. It's not even funny.
Or Prosser shooting from the blue line,
which is a dumb luck kind of. Or the goal the other night was off the stanchions.
Right.
It's like. Those are dumb luck goals where, okay, great, we got a goal, but
so basically
that's
means
not
that
reliable.
But things like that happen when pucks are bouncing
away. But those,
away
those too, happen in both teams, though. I
that's
mean, that,
like playing air hockey and just shooting across a table and hoping it doesn't go into your net before theirs.
It's not a plan.
Jive's giving me a look. He doesn't know.
Hoping for dumb luck is not a plan. And
no,
that, and that's
you
the way
don't.
The Wild have been playing lately.
That's why I'm such a success in life.
All right.
Can I rim shot that? Oh, man. What is that? Come on now.
Okay.
All right. So, next question comes in from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. Who is more of a tall stiff? Lurch from the Adams family or Martin Hansel?
You rang.
I'm definitely going with Hansel on this one. I mean, that dude, he stands straight up basically when he's out there. He looks awkward when he plays to me. He just does.
So. I think the bigger thing is who's slower, him or Vanek? Because at this point, Vanek looks like a lightning.
Yes, he has a lightning bolt.
Lightning bolt.
Right.
Lightning bolt.
Yeah,
Thomas the Flash, Vanek.
Hansel has been unbelievably disappointing. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
All right. Also from Crease and Assist. In need of some soul searching in current losing skids, is there a culture problem?
Well, I think this goes back to.
Sorry. I saw the amp because of the formatting. Minnesota Wild or Iowa Wild both. In need of soul searching, so one or the other or both.
I don't know that it's a culture problem because I think there might be a culture problem only because you bringing in Hansel and White has taken kids that are in the bubble
that had a chance and were they were putting it up.
They weren't doing great, but they were doing all right.
Yeah,
you know, all right-ish. You know, and now you've basically demotivated everyone from Holla to Shredder to Batteries. you know, all those guys are just like, okay, now
to Master Splinter.
Who's Master Splinter?
I don't know. You said Shredder.
Yeah, Shredder.
Right.
Shredder.
Yeah. Shredder.
We don't have no Bebop or Rocksteady, I mean.
A Bebop or a Rocksteady. Who would that be?
Well, who, really?
Actually, really, Hansel.
But who's Casey Jones?
Ooh.
Chris Stewart. Come on now.
You think Chris Stewart?
Yeah, he's Casey Jones all the way.
Coming in hot. Yeah. Yeah, that is his attitude, isn't
right.
it?
Yeah,
all
that's right. totally I'll Casey give Jones.
That.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, I don't know. We totally...
Do we need to
who's,
name the
who's
major
Michelangelo?
Yeah. Well, there's one.
Cowabunga, dude.
Cowabunga. Who is that? Probably Coyle.
Zucker.
Zucker. The good call. I'll go with that.
Yeah, West Coast kid.
Who else do we have?
Leonardo.
Oh, actually...
Koivu.
Was Leonardo a quiet one?
Yeah, and no, he was more. He was more into the...
he was more...
Like
Raphael is more Koivu, I think.
No, depending, because in the movie Raphael was
movie. Who's talking about movie? What kind of trash is that? You're gonna bring up Vanilla Ice before we know it in a ninja rap. Screw that.
The first movie without Vanilla Ice. Who plays Vanilla Ice?
Who's April O'Neil? Oh,
Kemper.
Kemper. Oh. The milk lady.
I think we need to move
on. Continue.
Next one.
Okay. Next question from JBushy19. The wild look to should the wild look to rest Dubes, Studer, Stahl, and Koivu a game or two between now and the end of the season. I think we kind of already covered on this. I think it's inevitable we're going to see some of that.
Yeah.
Because that's what every team does. Hopefully they're not tipping their hand on who might be hurt, you know, and it's just a matter of giving some guys some just actual rest, you know.
And honestly, what I would like to see is, yes, getting Dube some rest and getting Kemp some play. I know, you know, he hasn't had the greatest outings this season, but you got to remember also the gameplay that he's seen has been very sparse, which, you know, when you perform like you do, that's maybe sometimes how it's going to be. But we also need to know that we've got, somebody good that can back up Kemper coming into the, or sorry, back up Dubnyk coming into the playoffs
right.
here. So
right.
Why not get Kemper in a stride, get him a couple games in a row where he can actually get into a little bit of a stride and, you know, get into his game.
Yeah.
So, last question comes in from Puck Rocker at 3 in the box. What is more disappointing, the Minnesota Wild lackluster defense or the fact that this meme is totally going it continues on. Sorry. I got a link here. Thanks for whoever put that in the show document. Oh, going. that this meme is totally going to waste. And for those of you that are just listening.
Wow, they can't see it.
Yeah, they can't see it on there. So you guys are just listening to. I'll describe the picture here.
You know what this is from?
I don't know what this is from.
Zoolander, man.
Zoolander. See, I don't watch Zoolander.
Jeez.
But we got a Zoolander pick here, and we've got a man dressed as something with curly hair on his head, and a lady with some very red lipstick.
Hearing you trying to describe this is just hilarious.
It
I
is
say.
Hilarious. And what is really hilarious is the captioning around it for the meme says, Hansel, so hot right now. I don't know if I did that any justice there or anything like that, but
oh my god,
I think that
I just realized that Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale are in the back.
Oh, my goodness. I see that now.
Okay, sorry. Totally. I'm sure this is going over very well on audio, but
I thought that was Gwen. I guess I didn't realize that that was...
That is Gavin.
Gavin, holy crap.
Yeah.
Listener.
That sounds like
Gavin Rossdale.
No, that's
a spitting image.
No, that sounds like Gavin. That's sounded like image, Gavin. Sorry. Gavin Dillon, actually. Like if you were to meld Gavin and Bob Dillon together. So,
oh, okay.
Yes.
I was like, whenever are you?
Where are you going with this? But what is more disappointing is probably that meme might have went to waste because, you know, not everybody sees it. And well, not everybody knows who Hansel is and knows how hot he is.
This team's defense is, and I mean defense, not just the defensemen, but offensively, we're not playing defense very well
right,
at
our
all.
Our defensive zone. We're not.
No, we're not doing well at all.
Yep.
And that's, I think this last week we've kind of, you know, settled down on that regard, but now we're at the point where, okay, now we got to start scoring again. So we've figured out the defense, it's settled down a little bit. Now we got to start scoring. And that's really what it comes down to, in my humble opinion.
So, one last one that apparently we forgot last week, and I don't know how we missed this.
All right.
Teresa Ferries. I screw that up every time, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, Teresa Ferries.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
At MNSoda24 asks us, seasonal depression is a thing that many suffer from. I currently have wild seasonal depression. How do I feel better? You know, I've got a very good answer for that. I'll let you guys...
I know what your answer is already.
I think I know what your guys' answer is for this as well. I would say two shots of Zambuca.
I was just saying one. I mean, we don't need to kill Teresa, but at least one.
I would say at least two.
Take two shots of Zambuca, call us in the morning.
And have a summit.
The doctors are in the house. Did you want to come join our cult?
What is this? The, what is it? who are the ones wearing the Nikes? You know.
Oh, what?
Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate. Yes.
Wearing Nikes.
Right.
In bunk beds.
I didn't know that they were wearing Nikes, though.
Yeah, they're all wearing
the
same.
Was it Nikes?
They were all wearing the same Nike. I think it was Nikes. Yeah.
I don't know. Nikes going to hate us at one point.
That's okay.
Do we have our LLC yet?
Oh, crap. We're screwed.
Haters gonna hate.
All right.
So I think that's it. Twitter talk, that's done. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
At Nostra Kenius, on Twitter or Instagram. That should be about it.
All right. Then Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
Yeah, you guys can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find, you know, everything I'm doing is on Twitter, at AngryFinn. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inTheBox. If you got questions, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB. We'll probably read them.
Unless your name is Teresa.
Obviously, unless it's Teresa.
Kidding, I'm kidding.
You know, go to iTunes or Google Play. We're on both of those. Rate us. You know, give us some good scores if you're liking what you're hearing. I'm winging this part, but since this is Tripod Month, where you try a podcast, let's just go around the table and list a podcast that's one of your favorites that, you know, not necessarily hockey, but just a podcast
you
like.
Jive and I had talked about this the week you were gone, because that was the beginning of
You got another one to offer?
I think I do. I know we had talked about, 22 Hertz, and actually...
Pick a podcast.
I will say this. I am very happy to hear about The Voice Behind the Voice, because thank you, Derek, for turning me onto that one. That has been my new go-to, and it's about an hour episode, and I've got a 30-minute drive either direction, so I can listen to one episode a day.
Okay. The podcast that I'll mention today... my last one was Sword and Scale, which is a great podcast. And actually, it was funny that you brought up the Heaven's Gate stuff, because that was the what they talked about on the episode that I just listened
really?
To. So, yes, it was very awesome. But I don't remember hearing about Nikes on their feet. But
it might have been Reeboks. It might have been Reeboks.
Might have been Reeboks.
Or Adidas. Yes.
I think Felska, though, confirmed that it was Nikes.
Okay.
But the podcast that I guess I would like to mention today is called Reply All. And it's basically a podcast about things that happen out on the internet, you know, funny stories, things that happen. In the most recent episode that I was listening to, it was about, a Facebook account or a Facebook group that was created to, you know, kind of mock and you know, challenge what the president of Argentina was doing, and how the president of Argentina actually responded back to that. And it, you know, go have a listen. It's a great story. I shouldn't tell it here because I'm a horrible storyteller. that's why I don't do a storytelling podcast. I just talk about hockey.
Right. Okay. So you guys already got to give one before, so I'm going to give two.
Oh.
So my first one is going to be, it's going to be Planet Money.
Planet Money.
Great one.
It's an NPR podcast. It's short. Sometimes they'll work them into, if you listen to NPR, they'll work them in there. It's loosely based around the economy, but it might be politics. It might be stuff that you wouldn't necessarily consider economics. And I find it really interesting.
Yes.
And the other one is going to be, did you guys do All About Android?
No.
So we'll did not.
So I'm gonna pimp out All About Android. We actually steal our format, a lot of it, from them.
The Twit network in general, I think, has been a huge influence on us.
It totally has been. And
Lil Laporte,
Jason Howell, Ron Richards.
Lil Laporte's not on there, but he
right.
basically that's he's his the puppeteer network. Of yep. the Twit network.
I know all of us listen to at least one Twit podcast. I know I'm a weekly listener of All About Android. I'm an Android yep. fan.
I do This Week in Google. I like Twig.
Yep.
I mean,
Twit is good. Twit's a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's they're all great. I mean, for different reasons. And if you're a tech nerd,
and Teresa, there is Apple and iPod and or Apple and iPad.
Mac Break Weekly is one of them, and there's
I got your Mac Break Weekly right here.
there's an iOS one on there too, I thought.
But they're great podcasts, and it's just tech nerdery, yep. and I like that.
Definitely.
And I
know probably, how they got their podcast where
they're like a This Week in Law, or did they get rid of that?
They go in and out with some of the other ones on the side, but they're great podcasts. I highly suggest them. I could probably go on with another dozen podcasts, but I will not bore you people.
Yeah. Really? We're not a podcast talking about podcasts.
However, if you get bored of those podcasts, you can listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
You can go to 3inthebox.com. Send people our link, you know.
Hashtag tripod,
TRYPOD. Yeah. I think that's it. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
All right.